Well, it's time to think about filing your taxes and also think about what changes might be thrown at you this year. Andrea Coombs is with the Wall Street Journal and is also personal finance editor at MarketWatch. Andrea, you say there are fewer changes in the law and we have an extra weekend to file this year, don't we?
That's right. So that's good news. People have until actually midnight on Monday, April 18th. So it's an extra weekend and a day. So I think some people might be happy about that.
Well, yes. And it's because maybe they'll be looking at some of the changes in the code. Let's take a look at those. The tax break on unemployment benefits is now gone.
That's right. So in 2009, people who were unemployed and receiving benefits, they could receive up to $2,400 in benefits that would be tax exempt. So usually all of your benefits are subject to income tax, which is sort of a surprise to some people, I think. But in 2009, up to $2,400 was tax exempt. That's not the case in 2010. So we're back to the old way, which is all of your benefits are taxable.
That just somehow seems unfair.
I know.
but you can write off expenses incurred while you're looking for a job. Which ones?
There are a few. For instance, the cost of preparing your resume, you know, printing, copying, that kind of thing. Any fees you pay to an employment agency. Some of your travel expenses if you're traveling to look for work. These job hunting expenses come under the realm of miscellaneous itemized deductions. And to take a miscellaneous itemized deductions, they have to total more than 2% of your adjusted gross income. So it's a little bit of a bar there that you have to reach. It's all of your miscellaneous expenses combined.
But worth looking at. And also there's an education credit for the unemployed.
Actually, there are education credits for everybody. It's just that, you know, some people who have been unemployed may have decided to go back to school. Maybe that was, you know, the sort of a strategy for them to upgrade their skills or what have you. So they want to, you know, be sure to look into the education credits that exist, such as the lifetime learning credit. They may be eligible for that. There's a tuition and fees deduction that they might be eligible for. There are some perks out there. You got to look out for those if you're unemployed.
Check it out. For the working, even though, as you said, some of those education credits are for the working as well. Mm-hmm. But three deductions are gone for the working this year.
That's right. So we had some extra, what they call extra standard deductions. So these are deductions that you can take above the line, as they call it. It's really more of a benefit than the typical deduction. And three of them that are no longer there, one was for real estate taxes. So people who didn't itemize could still deduct their real estate taxes. There was an extra deduction, an extra standard deduction for some of the costs associated with buying a new car, and there was an extra standard deduction for certain disaster losses. And those three items are gone. They were a nice added benefit for people who don't itemize, and they're not there this year.
Well, and you mean by real estate taxes, property taxes?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that is, you know, for in many towns, that's a big deal, a payment, so that's gone.
It's still there for people who itemize.
And staying with real estate itself, the home buyer tax credit. Now, it's different depending on the year you bought your home. So go back to 2008. If you got a home buyer tax credit in 2008, do we understand you have to start paying it back this year?
That's right. It's very unfair, I think, a lot of people think. So in 2008, the lawmakers came up with this idea to stimulate the housing market. It's a home buyer tax credit. If you buy a home, you get this credit. But the first iteration of this credit back in 2008 required a repayment. Basically, it's an interest-free loan. So that is, you know, that is a benefit, having an interest-free loan. But
sure,
people who got the credit in 2008, this is the year when they have to start paying back the credit. They get 15 years to do it, so you're basically paying 1/15th of it this year, and it's kind of sad because people who took the credit in 2009 or 2010 don't have to pay it back.
Because at that point, lawmakers said, hey, we need to do even more for homeowners, and so they sort of upped the ante a little bit, and they don't have to pay it back. Oh, well.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people thought lawmakers might make it retroactive, but they never did.
Yeah. All right. Well, the government also offered homeowners tax breaks for energy efficiency improvements. What do you need to know about those?
So these are for doing things to your home, like installing energy-efficient doors or windows, you know, insulation or water heaters. In 2010, when you're going to do your 2010 tax return, if you made any of those types of improvements to your home, you're eligible to take a credit for up to 30% of the cost, you know, what you spent, up to $1,500. Now, there's this weird little twist. that $1,500 maximum, it applies both to 2009 and 2010. So if you took any of this kind of credit in 2009, you have to add that in. You can't take $1,500 in 2009 and 2010. You can only take $1,500 for both those years. So, but if you made those kinds of improvements last year, definitely take a look, see if you can get a tax break for them.
And there's another credit. Which one is that?
That's right. So separately, there's a credit for people who install either solar panels or wind turbine. Admittedly, this is not a huge swath of people. These are expensive projects to deal with. But if you did install something like that, there is a credit. It's unlimited. There's no cap on it. It's up to 30% of your costs with no cap. So you really can get a big chunk of money back. Of course, there's a big chunk of money going out to get those solar panels, right, or the wind turbine or the geothermal heat pump.
So just checking some other areas, anything new for the self-employed in 2010?
There's this temporary tax break that has not gotten a lot of press. It's just for 2010 for self-employed people. If that self-employed person is paying for health insurance premiums for him or herself and his or her family, he can use the cost of those health insurance premiums as a deduction against self-employment earnings. So it actually works to reduce the relatively steep self-employment taxes that people face. Now, there's a separate tax break out there for small business owners. This is part of the Healthcare Reform Act, and it's a tax credit. So if a small business owner has employees and is paying health insurance for them and has, you know, is bearing some costs related to that, there's a credit available. It's quite complex in terms of which business owners, you know, how big the company is, how much of a credit you get depending on how big your company is. So you got to look up the rules. So two things to look into there if you're either self-employed or a small business owner.
Okay. Well, and one last question, Andrea. Last month, the Obama administration announced it will not defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court. Now, the federal law is still in effect, but the Obama administration says it won't go to court to defend cases challenging it. But does that mean that legally married same-sex couples can now file jointly?
It's a big issue. It'll be interesting to see what happens next, but definitely the IRS has not come out and said, you know, it's okay to file a federal return married filing jointly as a same-sex couple. It'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Andrea Coombs, personal finance editor at MarketWatch from The Wall Street Journal. Andrea, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.